You want to make money on MMA? Let be. You want to know who to put it in your parlay? Let be. You want to know a DraftKings stay away? Let be. So, who has the Leslie Smith underdog pick? Who is the Mexican dude and the lesbian chick? Everybody say you mean Lesbo and the Bean. Who's that out there living they dream? Lesbo and the Bean. Who's that still smoking all the green? Lesbo and the Bean. Come on y'all, let me hear you scream. Lesbo and the Bean. You wanna make money on MMA? Let be. You wanna know who to put in your parlay? Let be. You wanna know what DraftKings stay away? Let be. So who has the Leslie Smith underdog pick? Who is the Mexican dude and the lesbian chick? Everybody say you mean Lesbo and the Bean. Who's that out there living the dream? Lesbo and the Bean. Who's that still smoking all the green? Lesbo and the Bean. Come on y'all, let me hear you scream. Lesbo and the Bean.
Happy New Year, January 1st, let be right in your ear. How you feeling?
Little 2018 action. Bum, 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 bum.
A little post 2019 action. Bum, 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 bum. How's everyone's New Year been? Hopefully good. Hopefully everyone's with us and nothing too crazy. I do feel like I need some water and cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
If anyone else didn't catch that New Year's ball drop on TV, yeah, I have no friends and do nothing. Ended up watching some TV and ended up actually catching the show on TV with some friends and saw the cheeseburger incident that happened. Pretty funny.
Did you end up catching that? I didn't see anything about it today.
I think I might have retweeted personally just a couple things just because I found it hilarious. There was a couple tweets. There was a couple out there, if not Cheeseburger Lady. For 2018. And I think Mariah Carey was the number one meme, first meme I saw today with the new year. Huh. Because of her asking Ken or whoever the hell it was for tea.
No, she just wanted some hot tea. Give a diva what she needs. Give the diva what she needs. But today, a few times in my house, I treated me kind. Sweet destiny. And then I would get all the way to the end of that song and see if I could hit the note better than Mariah.
And I'm assuming you could, because it sounded like Mariah Carey across from you right now, just in case anyone else heard that.
Without tea. Without warm tea. Yep. You want to hear my impression of Mariah Carey without tea?
Let's hear it.
But you know what I have to say? Second song, she pulls it together.
I do agree with that 100%.
You got to see why she was Mariah Carey. She pulls it together. She did it on a scale of 1 to 10 version of Hero. Like, if she sang that in a karaoke bar, you would be like, oh, that's
good. She would win $100. She would win $100.
Oh, that's good. But you would also have been like, it's no Mariah.
I would agree with that. She has definitely lived a long, good life.
So, yeah, I think we can, it might be, it's no Mariah could be something that we use to talk about some of the fighters on this card tonight.
So we did end up having 219 go on over this weekend. It was a 10 bout card, and we ended up starting first fight of the night, Tim Elliott versus DeRosa, ended up
Can I just say, if you listen to Lesbo and the Bean, you might have been a pretty happy camper.
I know one happy camper.
I did all right. I took your advice on a certain few cards, Khabib being one of those, over Barbosa. I ended up putting him on a lot more, thinking even if he'd get finished, the transitions and the punches he would lay, he'd at least have one round of ground and pound to get the points. And he did more than that, and that was really nice. And then pretty much all my underdogs came through.
It was a big underdog night. It was fun. Ended up going 50-50 myself on the night. So
I just did a little more than that. I think I just got 6 out of 10. And if so, if you ended up 5 out of 10.
It was a tough night regardless.
So it went exactly how we said it was going to.
Still ended up cashing a lot of my cards either way because I ended up listening to the Lat B again myself. And the Tim Elliott fight versus Rosa was heavy on him for a reason.
I have to say, I switched this when I re-listened. You had a better argument on why you were going for Elliott. And really, you were voting for Elliott, where I was just voting against him, not for De La Rosa in that. And so I switched to Elliott on this, which was good.
Good. It ended up cashing out because he ended up being on a lot of my winning cards as well, being like a 106 on DK overall, just overwhelming the young man. De Rosa is going to probably end up cutting a little bit of weight, go to 125. He looked a little flabby, a little short notice for me. I believe he does fight a lower weight now, but now he knows what it's like in the big dogs. He's going to have a big step up. Not discouraged because I saw this coming. Saw that he was going to get blown out of the water with his short notice fight, but moving on to Elliott, whoever he wants to fight, De Rosa, give him a loser, and you're on the chopping block right now. Where do you think both of these two gentlemen go?
The division at 135 is so sketch right now. I definitely like Tim Elliott fighting at this weight over 125.
Agreed.
That's more interesting to me. So I just think he's going to need to crawl his way up through the ranks. He looked good in this fight. He looked good everywhere in this fight. He looked strong. His cardio looked good. I don't really even know or care. I know it's horrible.
Exactly. He can fight whoever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Tim Elliott versus anyone. De Rosa, give him a loser. Give him somebody on a losing record. And hey,
you know what I think is a good fight for him? No, never mind. It's the wrong weight class. It just makes me think his fighting style a lot reminded me. And so it's a good question. Where's Chad Mendes?
On suspension. I think how much actually longer? He's due like any minute now. I think it might have actually just came up within a month or two that he's on his last term. So yeah, he's about to get a fight, and he's been getting a camp ready. People have been seeing him.
That makes me excited.
Yep.
I miss that guy. So agreed. Yeah, Tim Elliott's fighting style is just interesting. He just looks like a smaller Chad Mendes. I just thought he has good wrestling, good punches. I don't know.
Oh, crazy ground game. So
crazy ground game, yeah. Is he a jiu-jitsu? I don't even know. What is his master?
Yeah. He's definitely a jiu-jitsu guy for a long, long time. So was Rosa, but it was a huge step up in competition. So the other fight we ended up getting right, I believe I don't know if I ended up switching your mind on it. We had Matthew Nicholas defeating Smoka. I really wanted Smoka. I had Smoka on a few cards because he was a cheap underdog at like 7-3, but he was outworked in the first round, 10-8 round. Smoka got dropped, I believe, three times. That Hawaiian toughness really came through. The fact that Smoka made it to a decision, it gives him all the credit in the world. But unfortunately, he's on a 4-fight losing streak right now. And I think he's going to end up getting his card pulled. Nicolau is a bigger prospect, and the people that Smoka's losing to are high caliber people. Didn't see it. He couldn't get back in that fight from that first round on. It was all downhill from him. Nicolau's looking really, really good. Striking, takedown defense. The scrambles were good enough to keep him in a top positive position most of the time. And Smoka just took a beating for three rounds. What do you think?
I ended up switching to Nicolau decision, and that was dead on. I was actually surprised as well that Smoka made it all the way to the end of the fight once he started to take the beating and Nicolau started to get the better of him. But I'm glad I switched on that, and I did not put Smoka anywhere. So I apologize to our audience for feeling that he would actually finish with a knockout, I feel like I said on air.
That's what I would feel like. Yeah. So moving on, I already feel like we ended up getting through that one. Then we ended up having one of the weirdest fights of the night with Marvin Vettori versus Omari Akhmed. Ending in a draw, but this was our unofficial Leslie Smith pick.
If you followed us on Twitter, you got that information before the fight went out. So
-225 underdog ended up, or 230 underdog when it closed to Vettori, ended up getting a draw. And we were texting in this fight, and we both saw it as Akhmedov winning the first two and then losing 10-8.
Decisively.
The third round. It was a 10-8 decisively the third round. And that's what ended up giving us a draw. And that's exactly the way they called it. I feel like the refs actually got it right 100%.
I agree. It's weird to say that. And I know a lot of people, it was controversial for a lot of other people. It went exactly how we said it was going to. Akhmedov just out-wrestled him, just had that really basic, better technique
when it came to that. Russian style of punching, was I not 100% spot on?
Yeah.
Like, there's, and even Rogan and everyone kept saying, oh, the technique is different. Well, it's just, it was working, but against a really crisp, better striker than Vettori, that he's going to get knocked out. I really didn't like Akhmedov's gas tank. He, that's why it was a 10-8 round. He just couldn't move after that second round. I had really have to put that into my next frame of mind. Vettori looked better than I thought he was going to look. I thought it was going to be an easier fight. I thought Akhmedov was going to win it all around, but it was a gas tank that really lost it. Vettori ate some nasty rights the whole fight and never really wobbled. Both of these fighters exchanged multiple times over, both being rocked every once in a while, but yeah.
If you listen to us and you put Akhmedov everywhere and as your Leslie Smith underdog pick, and even if you just listen back to the show, we were really both heavy on Akhmedov.
Unfortunately, though, the DK was shit for Akhmedov, was it not?
But here's the thing. Vettori was over 9 for the cost. Akhmedov was cheap.
Agreed.
And so the cost, I feel like Akhmedov might have been on my winning card. I don't remember. On my first place card. I don't remember that. I have to look back at it.
So, anything else about either of these two gentlemen? Yeah. The either fighter.
I'm excited about Vettori. He's a young guy.
Yep.
I'm excited about him going
forward.
He's
not going to go anywhere. He's going to stay in the UFC. So, we'll lock mine up.
He'll actually go forward, though, on this. I think he will get the fight. He'll get the fight up next, where Akhmedov will always be stay a guy on the prelim card. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. Then we ended up having Miles Jury defeating Rick Glenn via 3-round decision. Got this 100% right. I feel like we both called Jury decision, and you saw exactly why. Glenn actually took some massive shots multiple times over, but Jury's gas tank also really didn't like as well. I think that Glenn isn't the top level of this weight class at 145 pounds, and Miles Jury is going to be someone that is going to be in some very hairy matchups, and a lot of people, I think, are really looking at a lot of his older wins 3 and 4 years ago, and the division's changed, so there might be some fade money in Miles Jury later on. I really didn't like the way he looked at the end of that third round. Glenn's toughness really showed, but I think it's time to get on out of here, Rick Glenn. I think this is the second or third one in a row, but they figured him out.
I think there's money to be made on Miles Jury later on and not betting on him, but I think there'll mini hype train built behind him because of his win record, and I agree with you. I think whoever he fights next could be a potential underdog pick for us.
I agree with that 100%. So, one of my biggest flops of the entire
I have to tell you, I'm not even mad at you because I swapped to Roundtree last minute, even though Oleinchukwu's on air. But what I did do smart is I didn't change Oleinchukwu's off any of my cards that I put him on. Doing that, I could afford everything. I am positive that he was on my first place card. So I am glad I didn't go back and change any of that. But I can't even be mad because I changed at least two other fights this card to what you said on air,
and
they worked out. So I can't even be mad about this one.
So Roundtree, as we were saying, though, if there was a way for Roundtree to lose, it was going to be gas tank issues. We thought it would be more grappling centric. And actually, in the first round, Leon the Hummer ended up eating some huge bombs and getting single leg takedowns and ended up really dragging this into a somewhat of a technical brawl, if you can even say that. Roundtree was throwing haymakers, and he was staying in the pocket. The Hummer was staying in the pocket and really working the body well. After the first grappling session, I believe we were hanging out by that point, and I was like, Roundtree's drunk. This is the last thing we want is him. Roundtree also went for a guillotine that gassed him completely out in that first round, and he never came back from it.
Thing about Roundtree that maybe I've seen too long with him, and it's why I'm always kind of a naysayer when it comes to him, you can't just rely on power at this level of UFC anymore. 100%. And he's a guy that just relies on his power, which gasses him out. He shouldn't have gone for that guillotine. He should have stayed standing the entire time, and he maybe had a shot. The other thing is, I feel like if you're Roundtree, and this guy takes all your best shots, your best uppercut, your best left, your best right, your best straight, your best looping. I cannot believe how many punches that Oleinchukwu's got hit with in the first round. It was unbelievable.
Did I not say he's a punching bag? And he usually loses the first round and then comes back and beats people because they are extremely tired from almost knocking him out. I feel like that's 100%. And that's exactly what happened here. The veteranship of the debut fighter really came through. He looks good.
Was he debuting?
Yeah, was his first fight in the UFC.
I felt like I've seen him fight before.
I feel like we did a breakdown and his other previous fight fell out. This did end up being short notice switch where Roundtree was going to fight Gokhan Saki, and Saki ended up having the injury, going to surgery. So this was like a 2-3 week short notice. So it was a completely different fight style that he came in for. But regardless, if you can't go more than a round in the UFC, regardless of your style, you're not going to go far in the UFC. It's just been proven time and time again. And Roundtree, I have to be so much more hesitant on. I thought this was a lob toss. Like, all right, debut fight, here you go. Get a knockout. Give us a highlight reel.
It's really, if they put him in there against somebody chinny, that's it.
Yeah,
that's going to be if he wins or not. If he's going in again against somebody that's been knocked out within the last year, I may pick him. Otherwise, I will always stay against him because I think he's been figured out in this fight. Right. You wear him out in the first round, keep him up against the cage, grind him out, go into the second and third. It's a little more, you pick apart his legs. It's kind of the game plan we saw here, and it just kind of worked out, yeah.
And I think that more people are going to see that and keep doing it to Roundtree. The only fights that he's going to be valuable in is going to be other brawlers. People that want to brawl with him because that'll set him up on a platter. But if it's a technical fighter, Roundtree's
out. You know what they should do is set up Roundtree, who's a pretty boy dude, Jimmy Manoa.
Now, that's somebody that Roundtree is going to knock out immediately.
Or Manoa, they both throw the same exact style.
That'd be a fun one.
It would be a
Saki type of a fight.
Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
That ended up moving to being the prelim main event.
That fight left me with that feeling too. Anyway.
Yeah, it ended up.
It was so boring by the end.
We ended up moving to the pay-per-view. We ended up having Neil Magny defeating Carlos Condit at 170 pounds. Ended up having Neil Magny as a big underdog there. He was almost a 2-1 underdog.
I switched too on my Tapology before the fight started. And if you want to follow either us on Tapology, Weakneck Baby, you can follow me and you can see all of our records. They get released the day of if you want to stay up to date.
Right. Zoltan is where you can find me. Also on Twitter at Zoltanite.
And at Weakneck Baby on Twitter as well. And remember to follow us at Lesbo and the Bean or for all information, and we'll try to get better at updating it, lesboandthebean.com. When you're on the website, if you're looking for the feed, there's a big yellow button that says, click here to find your feed. And you can click it and you can subscribe.
Quick Twitter shout out to the people that did end up listening to us. That's why we're giving you this holiday special event here. We know a lot of other podcasts aren't up. I've been looking for them all day, so
I have been. I got some free time.
Exactly.
Gonna sit on the couch and watch some MMA news, see how other people felt about this fight this weekend. Nothing.
Yep. So this is a labor of love to all of the new fans out there. Thank you for listening and finding us.
Not for me. It's not for the new fans. This one isn't.
Oh, this one isn't.
This is for the old fans.
This
is for the loyal ride or dies.
We gotta have it both ways. We can't have it. It's all not all horseshoes and cupcakes around here. So
I got the old fans on Bovada, 2-1.
So Neil Magny ended up outworking Carlos Condit in a semi-boring decision. It turned into a striking battle, mainly the knees of Carlos Condit. He's just lost a step. What I did find out was with Neil Magny was also it started to contemplate retirement. So both of these fighters are now on the fade list immediately. I would still go with Magny, but that's something that I'm going to be remembering from this point on. Carlos Condit, unfortunately, I really, really like you, but it's time to get on out of here, my friend.
I love you. It's the fade all day for both guys.
Yeah, I think from these points on, Carlos is getting on out of here.
Gotta buy a ticket to the fade train. Gotta go to the barber and get a little fade. Get a little taper fade.
Anything else we got to say about that
one? No, I don't even care who they fight next, honestly.
Exactly, because it's going to be fun to break those down. Moving to the next main card, we had another underdog come through. I feel like you were trying to switch my mind, and I should have listened. I backed off Cavillo because of exactly points you were saying, and it really worked out for me because we had a big underdog with Carlos Esparza beating in a 3-round decision. Evil Twin was also over Esparza, putting on her on some cards because he thought that she could do the same thing that you were alluding to, which was out-wrestle her, tire her out, use veteranship to really just win a bunch of exciting grappling exchanges. And Cavillo's ground game doesn't look so nasty all of a sudden. Cavillo had a ton of hype. I think that's what really made this. Should have been more of a coin flip of a fight in my eyes. And I was talked off of the ledge a bit, and it worked out. How did this one go for you? What do you end up thinking?
I ended up switching to Cavillo. Yeah. But I still left my Carlos Esparza cards, and that was really great on DraftKings for me. I think Carlos Esparza handily won this fight. I knew the ground game was going to be there. What I did not see there was going to be those snapping, quick punches. She beat Cavillo to the punch every time. She looked better everywhere. I thought Carla Esparza was kind of over. Sadly to say, though, her next fight is only Felice Herring.
Right, that's it what has
to
saying,
be somebody
right?
of the same level. It has to be somebody of the same caliber, and it can't be Rose. Rose is leaps and bounds different now.
Well, she's
it
a champ. Be, like, yeah.
I mean, unless you want to see her against a PVZ at this point. But I think that's a walkthrough for Carla.
Carla does have the only finish ever over the current champion right now. She's the only woman to ever finish Rose. Yeah, so
that's interesting.
It does. With Cavillo, does all the hype immediately change over to Esparza?
You know,
or not?
To me, I think Carla Esparza's next fight, and it's sad to say because it seems like such a steep step up, but they're the same weight people, and one of them would be off a loss. I think she needs to fight Claudia Gadelha.
Esparza?
Gadesia.
Ooh, yeah. Does it?
It's a bit, it seems
wasn't
like
that fight actually just booked? Wasn't Gadesia? No. Gadelha. Sorry, I was thinking Andrade. Gadelha doesn't have a fight. Yeah, she's taking some
I think
time
that's
out.
Esparza because it's the one loss. One loss. I think that's an interesting fight, and I think it really tests Carla's. You think you're a wrestler? But do you think you're a wrestler? To go up in there against somebody like Gadesia.
But Esparza is, like, that's what she made her money.
I know, that's a great fight.
That's actually a really good fight. Who do we give to Cavillo? Who's Cavillo at? I think she still beats a lot of other women in the division.
I think Cavillo, I'm really disappointed in the way she left the octagon. With, I won that fight. This is bullshit. I won that fight. I didn't really feel like you won it anywhere. If she rewatches that, I hope she's on the MMA hour in the next few days saying, yeah, I rewatched the tape. I don't really think I won.
How do you feel like when somebody does that in general, whether they think they won or lost?
There's time for that later on. And I feel like play by the set of honor rules in this forum, and then there's time for the...
So your girl did that specifically herself. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I didn't like when the bullet did that.
Exactly.
It wasn't to her nature to do that either. It seemed different than everything.
Yeah, you take it up at another point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the judges aren't going to sign the card and say, I think she's right. We need to switch this guy.
And you're speaking out of emotion on that level. I think even better is you're like, okay, I rewatched it. Right. And I believe I won that fight. That and you have more weight once you rewatch it.
You can see it from a third person kind of point of view. So with it, Cavillo again, who would we potentially give her?
I don't know. I want to go back to my, after watching this fight, I want to go back to my original way I felt about her. And that's, you're not going to crawl that far at your age.
I want to see Cavillo versus Danielle Taylor.
They didn't do that already?
No.
I don't know if Cavillo's ready for that. I'm interested in that.
That's an interesting
They're
one, right?
They're both stand and throwers right there.
Cavillo's more of that ground. That's where Esparza really took over in, like, the ground beneficial position where she stuffed and or didn't let it get there. Taylor's a lot of powerhouse. Not as good on the ground, though. So, yeah, that's a fun one for them.
Yeah, I'm interested.
I could also potentially see... I could see Cavillo versus Herring as well, but Herring's coming off of a couple wins, so that might not happen immediately.
Yeah, I think Herring eats Cavillo for breakfast.
Yummy. On the next fight, we ended up having Daniel Hooker defeating Mark Dykesi via third-round submission. I was all over Dykesi in his decision. I thought Hooker was, he really has looked good moving up to 155. He put on a lot more muscle, ate a few shots, but his game is really coming together well. And Dykesi's hype also big. This is an underdog that came through. I believe I had Lesbo go in with Hooker.
Hooker all day. I had Hooker everywhere. And I would say 70% because I think Daniel Hooker's on his way up, but 30%, and I'll say it over and over again, I think the Bone Crusher's overrated.
I think you may be onto something. You may be onto something. So people have started to figure out Dykesi, and it was finished with a guillotine, but it was an accumulation. I mean, Hooker ate some shots, but he gave them right back the whole time.
Daniel Hooker will be an underdog in his next fight, and I'll pick him again. He's that type of guy that he's going to be this forever underdog. Evil Twin. He'll be able to make so much money on him.
Evil Twin was really on Hooker at 145, and I just really thought that Hooker was too light for it with his size and how young he was. And this move up I think he could eventually move up to 70. That's how tall he is.
I feel like every single one of the move ups that we've seen have benefited the guy's career.
And it hit specifically in Daniel Hooker. So I agree with you. He's really somebody to watch out for with the level of striking. He didn't just beat Dykesi in one flat out position with the submission. He worked for that with advanced striking, and that's the Bone Crusher's bread and butter. So really, really like
that. Unbelievably tight submission.
Yeah. Oh, he locked that in very, very, very deep. Who do we give to the Bone Crusher next? I mean, he can beat a lot of cans. He's still going to have a few, but wrestlers are his kryptonite.
I never want to see him. I never want to see him on a main event card again.
Ooh.
Daniel Hooker at 155. Oh, he ain't quite ready for the monsters yet.
Yeah, he's still got a couple more fights. They were both on their way up.
How heavy is Jason Knight fight?
55. Knight's coming off of a loss, though, right now.
I think that's good, though. I think they were different enough. Yeah, I think they're different enough in the rung, and they have interesting, similar styles. I'd have Hooker in that. Yeah, I'd have Hooker in that.
So for the boat, actually, I think that Bone Crusher versus Knight would be a good one, too.
I like that.
Yeah, that'd be a better two off of loss. Yeah,
that's a more interesting fight to me.
Stand up fight.
I'm like, who would win that?
Yeah, I agree. That's closer. All right, I think that they're booked. As far as for Hooker, who do we give him to next at 155? Cub's high enough of a name that he's really starting to get these level of fights.
Yeah, he likes to welcome the guys. He likes to welcome them into the top 15. I think that's a good fight for Mr. Swanson. He has to heal up a little bit anyway. His fight was a lot more brutal than Hooker's, so they might be on the same healing path.
Good point. But anything else left on these before we get to the co-main event?
Bye-bye, Hooker.
All right.
I don't mean it bye-bye like we usually mean bye-bye. I just mean I'm over.
Until later. See you later.
See you later.
To the co-main event, we ended up having Khabib Nurmagomedov defeating Edson Barboza via three-round decision. You swayed me on Edson a little bit, where I had him on a couple cards just in case that home run did come. It was potentially there. But soon into the fight, Khabib ate a couple shots and was like, oh, wait, I wrestle everybody. And the grappling begun, and it never started after the first takedown. You just saw the energy drain out of Edson Barboza, and with his timing and explosion-based fighting game that he usually has, as soon as that gas tank starts to wear, the technique starts to go out the door, and with a eagle, screaming eagle in there on top of you, may not be the easiest fight of your life. Edson at times looked like he was mouth-breathing, just like, get this guy off me. Just like, he wanted to tap, didn't, had a ton of heart for Edson, but he almost landed a couple knees. They had some good striking exchanges in there. What did you like the most about this fight? Because it was compelling.
What I liked the most about this fight originally is that Khabib made weight. It makes me a little bummed that I was such a hater because of him missing weight that I didn't realize how amazing he is. He does have a quote-unquote padded record, but that being said, after this fight today, because there was nothing else on, and last night I just watched a bunch of old Khabib fights, the style in which he fights is almost unbeatable. Fuck!
It's very Ben Askren.
I cannot even believe how smothering the wrist control, like you pointed out every time when he grabs the right wrist, he's pulls it down, boom,
to the back of the
pulls
hand.
It down, boom, yep. pulls it down, boom. The guy has to keep his face out of the mat. He has to keep his neck off the cage. Yeah, it's like the guy's twisted, finding it hard to breathe, and has this guy with, it's almost hard to watch. Just, it seems like you're getting mauled by a bear. It's like The Revenant. That's how I felt for Edson Barboza. He was, and I never have been a huge Edson Barboza fan. It's just because I was such a Khabib hater. I was blinded by my hate.
I was about to say, blinded by the hate.
Yeah. That was beautiful. Like who sings that?
Was it Bon Jovi?
I don't think so. It's like Bob Seger. I don't know. I have no idea. But I was so impressed, and I don't give a shit about Conor McGregor, honestly. I just want to see Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. What are your feelings on this? It's the only thing anyone can talk about.
That's the only fight that I see. It's the only fight there is. Of course, they have to leave the open option to McGregor because he's the money fight, but I think we're all on the same page by saying that McGregor ain't fighting fucking anytime soon. And if it's gonna be, do you think it's the top? Do you think it's either one of those fights? He doesn't want. He's gonna let them fight each other to fight him. It just makes the most sense. Have them knock each other out instead of get fucking mauled by both of them and look like a little bitch. You only do it once and lose it once.
And you kind of want them to fight each other, hopefully finding the other's holes more so. Of course. So you're Conor, so you can
study
that.
But how do you emulate either of them being Conor McGregor? You just have that
The only thing you can think of after watching that fight, the only thing I can think of that even has a shot at stifling Khabib is going to be Tony Ferguson's off his back. That's his only shot. It's because Tony Ferguson's the best off his back, and you are going to end up on your back. I don't think you can stay off your back. Edson Barboza is probably faster than Tony Ferguson, probably faster than him moving backwards, especially. I don't think it's possible to stay off your back.
Yeah.
So now, what are you going to do when you get there?
Lose.
Unless you're maybe Tony Ferguson.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. That's the most interesting, and that's really what should be the true number one contender for the belt. Not as in for the true belt holder, not for the interim to then fight Conor. Because I think he should have already relinquished. We've seen other fighters already relinquish their belts prior.
Yeah, you're interested. Whoever Conor wants to fight, he doesn't need a belt to sell it.
Yeah, I agree.
Let the belt go, buddy. Let it go. The UFC is never going to strip it from him. Because he probably threatens them with it. I just am like, let it go. Don't even go in with those belts anymore when you fight. Go in with the boxing idea of a belt.
Yeah, each fight is its own entity in itself that'll make you a gajillion dollars.
Yeah, have like the King of Ireland belt. And have Tony Ferguson come to Ireland and fight. Or Khabib, King of Russia, fight.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that Boss Logic poster?
No, I don't think
it is so awesome. It has Tony facing Khabib with Conor far off in the distance holding the belt. And then behind Tony is like a friggin' El Kukui, like Grim Reaper looking monster. And behind Khabib is a huge bear. And then far off in the distance behind Conor is a big old gorilla.
Oh, I can picture it all right now. It sounds amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
I really like Boss Logic, and I really like that.
It's the rock, paper, scissors of MMA.
It's great.
That should be our Lesbo and the Bean poster. It's just
trifecta.
Rock, paper, but it's all cartoons. It doesn't have nearly as much lore. It's like
Mystique.
Rock, paper, scissors. Because it's Tony's the scissors.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I think Tony's the paper.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait, hold on. No, wait, I got this.
All right, let me hear it. Let me hear it.
Conor has to be the rock, because the thing that he does is he has the hard punch.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense.
I think easily the paper covers the rock, easily, and that is Khabib Nurmagomedov. The only thing that can beat that paper is the BJJ scissors that Tony Ferguson has, and Tony is the scissors. Tony has the scariest of all three of them's chin. The rock take the scissors right out. That's how I think that's my personal rock, paper, scissors of the UFC 155
right now. I like that. We're going to have to work that in somewhere because that's pretty fun. I would agree with all of that, and you walked me right through it, and I see the same conclusions of why each representation of each fighter would stand in there.
After this, I want Khabib to move up, not down.
Of course. Oh, of course. The 145 is bullshit talk. That's bullshit talk.
But are you curious about Max versus Khabib?
Of course.
Isn't it interesting that Matt makes you curious about a guy at 10 pounds lighter with these guys? He's that good.
So initially, I want to say of course, but then when I really step back and think about it, no, because I know he's not going to make the weight. Him saying 145, he's just saying to get the haters off of his back. Like, of course I made weight. It was easy. He weighed in a half pound under, but it was not
good.
Easy.
He looked very good.
He did look lean. I feel like
he looked different.
He did. He had lost a lot of weight from a couple months prior to that, for sure. Anywhere else? Yeah, Edson's still. They're both top ranked fighters. They're both in the top 10.
You know what I'd like to see for Edson, and you'll probably tell me they've already done that fight 4 times. If Nate Diaz is going to be in this talk at all, he has to fight.
He's not fighting Edson. That's too hard of a fight. He's going to want money fights, and Edson's not a money fight coming off of a loss, especially, and he's dangerous. He would never fight Edson at this
point. Where's Edson go from here?
He can fight anybody, especially someone coming off of a loss. There's always the Michael Johnsons, the, Justin Gaethje, 155.
That's a great fight.
Loss. They're both in the same. But Gaethje's going to need a couple months after that fight.
So is Barboza after that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Edson Barboza, Gaethje, give him 4 months. Boom.
I love
Get him in there.
I love it.
Get him in there.
All right, now I guess we can go to the main event with the ladies. Who's the ladies? Who's the ladies? It's Holly Holm and Christine Anna Cyborg.
Oh, was that the backup singer for Enrique Iglesias? Because that's exactly what that sounded like. That was amazing.
It was Ricky Martin.
Oh, damn. Okay. So, the main event ended up being Christiana Cyborg versus Holly Holm in a 5-round decision. Ended up going myself with Holly Holm, finishing it in the 5th round. I thought the cardio wasn't going to be there for Christina Cyborg, and she proved me wrong. I should have never. Of course, the likely favorite ended up winning. But hey, there was a real shot, and I don't think that there's many other women that are going to do half as good as Holly Holm's in there any bit whatsoever. This was the fight of the night, and rightly so. This was a very compelling fight. I ended up staying glued to the end of my seat, sweating, wetting, being into this fight. It was just a ton of fun. Holly Holm started to get picked apart as the rounds went on, though. What were some of your favorite parts? What were some of your favorite highlights of this fight?
I think you and I both agree Holly Holm took the 1st round.
Agreed.
2nd round is debatable on what time Chris Cyborg took over, minutes-wise. Mm-hmm. So we know she had control of the round by the end of the fight. It's when she took over that round of if you want to give it to Holly or Chris. So that round, let's say it's a draw. From 3rd on, it was a masterclass that Chris Cyborg was putting on for us.
Yep.
Because she made it all look easy by that point. And what everyone forgot is Holly's a championship boxer and kickboxer. Like, she's picking apart somebody. And take away anything that you want to say about weight, that should make Holly faster in there. And you can't take away anything about Holly Holmes' power. She looked as big as Chris Cyborg in that ring. Oh, yeah. I don't think it looked it did not look to me that Chris had a huge weight advantage in there. It was incredible. What the most impressive thing to me about Holly Holmes, and I was wrong about it because actually during it, the announcers pointed it out and I'm like, I don't see that at all. And then I started to pay attention. Holly Holmes was controlling the clinch with Chris friggin' Cyborg.
She really was along the fence. A lot of the time she was really reversing Cyborg a lot off the fence. And that's something just to remember if it's like, oh, this unbeatable person, remember, there's people that can outwork her in the clinch. And that's what ended up happening with the bars fight when she fought in Muay Thai, was a lot of clinch and knees really messed her up. But with all that, we kept telling Holly to kick. I kept telling the TV, kick Holly, but Christiana Cyborg was beating her every kick. The whole time. Beating her everywhere.
I kept calling it out that she is, Holly keeps circling to the same side. She's going to get, oh, and then she'd get clipped. Holly keeps circling the same. She's going to keep, oh, right toward Cyborg's power hand. Come round three, I'm like, I see that kick coming. Holly's being so
predictable
with that kick. Cyborg's going to kick her other foot out from under her. She's going to kick her other foot out from under her. She had just as killer kicks, and they were like bats. The other thing, Cyborg's body shots. Oh, are you kidding
there's
me?
There's a lot of women that aren't able to do that.
It punches to the face. Holly was a punching bag in there.
Yep.
She got beat the fuck up.
But all credit to fucking Holly Holmes, because
no one else has made it five rounds, and that's close. The first person to ever bust Cyborg's nose.
Agreed. Holly Holmes did get her shots in that fight. Photo going around Twitter of her, I believe, with Dana White with her eye swollen, completely shut. You were saying, and it is true, it's some of the most damage Holly Holmes has ever taken in any fight. And she is a very elusive fighter, but it was just a testament to the pressure that Christiana Cyborg puts on women. Regardless, she can go full five rounds. I was doubting that full five round stuff.
I thought she looked good the whole time.
The entire time. But with Cyborg, we saw those flurries sporadically, because when I was watching Embeddeds and everything afterwards, Dominic Cruz, Winklejohn, on Twitter himself said, hey, we know in the fourth and fifth round is when we're going to really come on, this, that, and the other. And it ended up, I ended up being like, hey, Holly Holmes is going to do what I want. She's going to stay away. But Dominic Cruz, who was helping Christiana Cyborg, ended up telling Cyborg, remember, she's going to stay away from you for two, three rounds. They knew exactly what was happening, so that she was just as prepared as Holly Holmes was. And that's even better for Christiana Cyborg's career in general for me. There's just, she's not going to be a underdog anytime soon. Who's the next fight that you could see for Christiana that's even going to be half
Megan Anderson all day.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was just going to say.
And I almost feel like the UFC knows that Megan Anderson has won a shit ton of eyes on her. I think they know she's going to bring a big audience in. I think she's a huge favorite in Australia.
What is she?
And
if they go to Australia.
I think she is a huge Australia draw.
Yeah.
She is a Robert Whittaker there. She's come up through the scene. She's already a champion in her own right. She is the only woman that is bigger than Holly Holm and Chris Cyborg.
Willing to fight Chris Cyborg.
Been calling it out forever. She's like, this is what you want to see, a champion versus champion.
I believe she already dropped the fight to Cyborg because of an injury, and she wasn't.
She has been trying to get into the UFC for so long, and Cyborg has really been pushing for it. It's one of the beautiful things about Cyborg is she really is a champion of other women, especially other women fighters. She really touts off their names a lot, gets interest in their fights. But I think Megan Anderson is watching this fight with Holly Holm. I would have said, I'm nervous about that fight for Megan Anderson. Now watching this, that is a good fight.
I'm going to favor the
one. And I'm immediately interested in Megan Anderson versus Holly Holm. Immediately interested in that.
I would say I would like to give Megan Anderson a couple fights, because debuting to the champ, she's just not tested. She's being thrown to the slaughter. It would be fun if we can get a couple finishes for Megan to get that highlight reel a bit. They're going to still feed her too soon, but it should be two or three fights. I don't think that it should be.
There's nobody else to belt fight.
I know. Cyborg. Raquel, but her leg's hanging on by a thread.
We just got signed. Somebody just got signed. We just tweeted it out. A woman.
Mackenzie Dern at 115.
Oh, yeah, she's 115. She's a little lady. Little lady.
Right. So with Holly Holmes, does she still have a career at 36? This is one of the first times that I actually ended up thinking Holly Holmes looked old. The HD did not benefit Holly Holm this time around, unfortunately.
I thought she looked better in there than she's looking. She looked... That Holly Holm would have put on a better... She might not have got picked apart from Bullet Shevchenko. And Bullet's going to be faster. Now that you're looking at Bullet Shevchenko is about to fight in 125, and I just think the bigger you get, the slower you get. It just seems like a normal thing. I have to say, I liked Holly Holm at 145 better than I've ever liked her at 135. Or I'm interested in Amanda Nunes fighting either of the women. I don't care if she fights Holly... And I don't care if she fights Cyborg. I want Amanda Nunes to fight either of those people.
I'd agree with that. I think either... All of those fights are fun. It's such a brand new division. we're going to be seeing legendary fights. This is a legendary
fight. They already
fight.
Said for Chris Cyborg, she will not go down to 140 to Good. Meet Amanda Nunes at a catch weight. This is her weight class.
Good.
She's not going lower ever again.
Good.
And I like that too.
So I think we've wrapped up this card nicely.
Amanda Nunes don't need to cut to 135 anymore. I've been saying that forever too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what else is going on in the world of anything in the internet?
Other fight talk. Did you end up catching Gabby Garcia's disgraceful act? Not only was she fighting a 53-year-old woman and resin championship fighting out there in Japan, 53-year-old woman she was fighting, she came in 27 pounds overweight. And she said the old Chris Cyborg line, and they are friends and training partners, I'm not willing to die to make weight. So you can't even make your whatever rules you set the fight to be at. And you're still trying to fight a 53-year-old woman. What is wrong with you?
I don't even... I feel like overseas... What, Japan?
Yeah,
they just like freak show fights. I'm not into that. It's a freak show fight.
That's a freak show fight.
They might as well have her in there against a man. Like, they might as well just put her in against a 135
pound man. That would be a real fight for her against a man.
I know. They should just do it. They should have a Japanese man win a contest on one of those weird games where they're covered in Velcro and throw themselves at walls or get shot out of a cannon into Jell-O or whatever.
Do the slippery stair.
Yeah, one of the crazy Japanese game shows. And or a slippery stair. She could be dressed in a suit as a monster on the stairs and she just throws you back down. Throws you back down.
She's trying to go sexy, though. She's not trying to go monster.
So she can be dressed in a sexy bikini. And she can be King of the Mountain with Gabby Garcia. And you have to try to get up there.
I like that.
And she has, like, rubber stick on the bottom of her feet so it doesn't affect her with the Jell-O.
Or just her pad where she's standing. It's just,
so the whole goal is to get her off her feet so she slides, her body slides
and
down the hill.
You gotta grease them up, the guys first. You gotta oil them up real good so that they can't get any grip.
I don't care about
her
fighting anymore.
Yeah, she hasn't really fought anybody. There is other women willing to fight her, kind of. She's fought nothing but cans. She is the epitome of... Yeah, again, as you're saying, a freak show. But how do you feel this reflects on MMA? What's your stance on it in general? Because like, she is a black belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champ. She did destroy
I
women.
I think it's
but...
just, that's one of those things that happens. It's just one of the, I don't think it says anything against MMA. Not, it doesn't even make me think about it.
It's such a freak show.
Yeah.
You're just like, what?
I don't think about Khabib's win over Barboza in the same category of that.
Uh-huh.
I think about that in the same category of like Ronda Rousey and WWE. Like it's that kind of talk to me. It's that same kind of kookiness. I think the sport goes on. I don't think it takes away from Cyborg picking apart Holly Holm because that freak show is fighting
right.
old ladies.
Apples and oranges. Apples yeah. and oranges.
Fighting old ladies. Old ladies! Break that lady's hip.
On other MMA news.
Did you see Kevin Lee calling out Khabib?
I didn't, but of course he's going to be shooting up. He's coming off of a loss and expecting to get a winner. Not going to happen. He needs to be calling out Edson Barboza. If anything.
Smarter.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot smarter.
Exactly, exactly. There's
both
no
off
way they're gonna
the losses to the guys that are in contention to fight
yeah,
for the belt. Tony's belt, I guess.
Exactly. It makes no sense, but yeah, it makes sense for Lee.
I don't know. I think that might be it. I guess we could wrap it up and people can stay tuned for, we should have an episode out later in the week for...
Well, we have a week off. We have this weekend off.
Oh, it's not even this weekend.
Yeah,
that there's
no, 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 no. Yeah, we don't have fights for another week, so it's going to be a lot of catch up as far as what's been going on.
So hopefully there's some hot topics in UFC.
There's some juicy ones that I'm definitely holding on to that I think will roll over. There's
what? Juicy ones.
I think we already talked about Mackenzie Dern being signed at 115. That's going to light up the division a little bit. You got me.
If I had a cricket sound effect, I would have put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you follow us at Lesbo and the Bean on Twitter. And for all things Lesbo and the Bean, lesboandthebean.com.
Lesbo and the Bean!